Welcome to Geeks On, a show created by geeks for geeks, covering topics that geeks like to talk about. For more information about the news and links we talk about on the show, go to our website at www.geeksone.com.
Welcome back, my geeklings.
Come on, do it.
What?
You have to do your non-sequitur.
Hound of the Geekervilles.
Excellent. And if anyone can figure out that, I'll give them 10 bucks.
Hi, my name is Aaron Hendricks. I'm a filmmaker and graphic designer here in Los Angeles. I'm a geek.
Hello, I am Donald Marshall, a video game professional and writer here in Hollywood, California, and I am a geek.
Hi, I'm Matt King. I am an actor? Yeah. And a geek here in Los Angeles.
Hi, I'm Peter Robinson. I am a screenwriter here in Los Angeles, and I am a geek. And today we have a guest, my good friend from when I was growing up, Joy Phillipson.
Wow.
I'm actually Joy Stern now.
Yeah.
I'm residing in Denver, Colorado.
You don't have to give your address because you will get stalked. Yeah. We have stalkers, listeners.
It's not necessarily bad.
Yeah.
Now, Don, I know that Thanksgiving is your favorite holiday, but you wore
I like stuffing.
But you wore a turkey costume?
Yes.
I mean,
that is correct.
That's going a little too far.
I was cold. It's got down. It's nice.
But it looks good.
I think the tail feathers are quite striking. Thank you very much.
Shake your tail feather. Shake your tail feather.
Oh, did you guys go see it?
Yeah, we saw it.
What'd you think?
It was fun.
We're, of course, talking about Chicken Little in 3D.
Yeah.
Now, you've said that, this is Peter, and Matt has said that I am Chicken Little.
Yeah. I saw that.
I don't get it. What do you mean you don't get it? Did you get it?
I haven't seen the movie. I don't.
Aaron saw it. He didn't get it.
To me, he
totally
was
like Peter.
Yeah, he was like the guy from. He was like the Jerry Maguire kid.
From what you've described, and maybe you can back this up.
I can try.
From what you've described of yourself in junior high school and in high school, you know, you talked about the turtle moment of getting trapped on your back. And from what I know of you, of being
okay,
you know,
that's kind of Chicken Little-y.
Yeah,
okay.
But I mean,
so maybe I was Chicken Little. No, I'll buy that.
But also, you're
now he's Chicken Medium.
Now he's Chicken Medium. But you,
Harry Chicken.
Chicken Little always was sort of like taking the pop bottles and shaking them up and turning them into a booster pack. You know,
okay.
And that's sort of the way I view you is you know
Chicken Little.
It's Chicken Little.
I would beat his ass.
I got to explain what this...
Chicken Little saved the world, man.
Yeah, yeah. I thought the movie was very loud and very obnoxious. In fact, the only reason why we went was because the theater down the street was showing it in 3D. And it was a great... I mean, the 3D was great. It was pretty fun.
Things it's amazing 3D.
Yeah. But it's the most loud, obnoxiously, just constantly yammering characters... It's really, don't go see it if it's not in 3D, in my opinion.
Really? I loved it.
Come on.
I thought it was fun.
Who's this? Is this Pixar or is this...
No, it's Disney.
Oh, no.
It was all right. It wasn't as good as a Pixar film. It's just
by about a gazillion.
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't know. I'm really sad that Disney's kind of put its hand-drawing stuff out to pasture. You know, like...
We'll see.
That is so 40 years ago.
Well, see, I mean, the thing about it is that because their hand-drawing stuff is out to pasture now, they're allowing, I mean, as you can see with Lilo and Stitch, they're allowing a little bit more artistic influence to actually enter their drawings, which, so maybe it'll...
Well, Lilo and Stitch was their last hand-drawn cartoon.
But it also
was... only a couple years ago.
Yeah, and then they did Down on the Farm or something, movie called Farm something.
Yeah, and a lot
and
of
that was
are
its their last hand drawn film.
Brother Bear.
That was what, a year ago?
Yeah.
One every month?
No, they disbanded their hand animation studios.
Well, I auditioned for one and it's coming out and it's all about a martial arts panda from the Shaolin Temple. So,
gee, I can't wait.
Yeah.
You know,
should
I
be interesting.
Watch that.
Their films aren't doing well.
No.
And they say, gee, Pixar films are doing well.
Yeah. Sabotage themselves.
It must be the 3D animation. But let's take a look at Brother Bear. Let's take a look at this one.
Oh, my God.
Do these look like good movies?
No.
That's why they're not doing well. They're bad movies.
They're poorly conceived and poorly written for the most part.
They have nothing to do with the 3D. They're just poorly written movies.
Honestly, when you look at a Pixar picture, they have written their scripts. they have solid writers working hard for years on their scripts.
I love their the DVD extras that show how collaborative they are.
Yeah.
On the things and how really, like, in order to pitch a scene, you have to go in and storyboard it and say, this would happen. You have to really act the scene. I thought that was amazing.
All right, I'm done advertising Disney.
All right. I'm advertising
so
Pixar.
We have a guest here who is a geek.
Nope. I classify myself as a nerd as opposed to
a geek.
A
nerd. Now, we've had this conversation.
Yeah. This is part of our geek outreach program to contact other species of outcast.
Is it to bring them
so we're trying
the
to get
film?
All the hot
to,
chicks well, to make
to,
them
to
a geek.
To form an understanding.
Oh, I understand.
Yeah.
Collaborative is good.
So just so people know a little bit about Joy, okay, she lived across the street from me, and she was the girl next door.
Mm-hmm.
She was the red-haired girl next door, Charlie Brown.
Well, actually, she had brown hair then.
Yeah.
Oh. Which means you had a crush on her.
Just so people know, she is gorgeous, mm-hmm. okay? And she was 1 year ahead of me.
There'll be
naked. Oh, man, you were so up in the tree, Crispin
Glover.
On the
internet. Unfortunately, it'll be of all of us and not her.
Yes.
So, but go on, check those out.
And now Joy is now a genetic counselor. So,
yes.
What?
That sounds kind of chilling.
Yeah. I need that in a big way, genetic counselor.
All right, whip out the Gattaca. Come on, what's going on?
That is what
so,
I do.
Let
is this
me
like
tell you about
approving whether or not me and my wife can breed? Or
if you and your wife had questions about breeding, you might come to see me.
Oh, dear.
Wow.
So tell me all about your chromosomes.
Those genes look very nice on your ass. You should definitely breed.
Exactly.
And so you're here for a genetic conference.
Yes, it is the National Society of Genetic Counselors annual meeting.
Wow.
And
so
what
we hone
type
in
of
from all regions of the country and world. And
do you remember any of the names of the different talks that have been going on? Can you close in some of the
One of my more favorites today was an ethical debate about stem cell research and
kick
treatment.
Ass.
Always interesting and hot topic.
We're going to get to that one day.
Yeah, we got to hit stem cells eventually. Yeah.
Stem cells are always a good area. Hereditary cancer.
I like the Kathleen Turner breathy voice saying things like hereditary cancer. Because, like, they're geeks.
I take
geeks
all this
like
so
this.
Exciting. It's so good for me. So, yeah, I feel that way about it, which I guess is the nerve instead
right
of the geek. It's the science aspect and the whole passion of the science as opposed to all the technical geekdom.
So it's kind of like a rah-rah conference to just kick the whole genetic scientific world into overdrive.
Pretty much. It's a lot of rah-rah. Make sure you're all up with the most current pieces, and then basically we all hang out and have cocktails and chat.
So is this like, I know how conferences in some aspects of the community are. Is this a whole bunch of geeks and nerds trying to like hook up?
No, this field is 94% to 97% female, so there's very little hooking up.
Shame.
There is some.
Should have gotten into the old
genetics. I think about 30% of our audience just decided to take up genetics.
Yeah, really?
Like, wait
Please
a second. What was
that?
So actually, it's not a very big field. How many people are in the field?
Approximately 3,000 genetic counselors across the country.
And they're all chicks.
There's only 3,000?
Yes. It is a small but growing field.
Interesting. Mm-hmm. Like a virus.
We infiltrate, we move in, we seize and conquer.
Okay. Virus, dead or alive?
Depends. If it's growing, it's alive.
Well, crystals grow. They're not alive.
Crystals are not necessarily virus.
Well, true. All right. I was just wondering if you could solve, the is a virus dead or alive debate.
Yeah. I think I have to ask the question. The only genetic programs I can think of are the ones conducted by the Nazis in World War II.
Nice, Don.
What are you talking about? Every time a farmer grows a new plant, a genetic...
No, I'm talking about human breeding programs, which I assume is what we're talking about here. We're not talking about crossbreeding carrots.
Okay.
No, we do herald in the human realm only, and we're more about testing for disease.
Okay.
And
so there's no sort of agenda you're putting forward with these things. It's more like... Sickle cell anemia is bad, we think, and perhaps we can fight it suggesting these things? I don't know.
Well, there is a very odd historical tie between genetic counselors and euthanasia. And
ooh, really?
Eugenics as well.
Right,
so
and eugenics is the...
Con!
Ooh. So it's not something we try to advertise, but there is a link there, so you could probably take it in that avenue if you wanted.
Well, can you think of more positive programs in the past that maybe we could bring to mind?
Well, Don, let's think about last week, the news story about they've determined that there are genetic markers for dyslexia.
Right.
Right.
So, you know, someone like Joy can then test a child way
before
they
get... It's all
in
the A and D stuff. Come on, people. Oh, A and D?
I guess the
okay, maybe not.
The flaw I'm the flaw with my thinking here is I'm thinking of you as counseling people before the breeding has begun, whereas you're more of a post-breeding.
Well, you can do
operative.
Both. I mean, you know.
Now,
I mean,
is there any discussion within the community as to whether or not, like, okay, this is a genetic trait which we diagnose as being bad, i.e. mm-hmm. sickle cell anemia or whatever, but we don't know whether or not this is actually an evolutionary trait and something that which is to combat something which is coming down the pike?
Well, I'd have to say more in the practical realm that we see it. It's more about looking at, as you said, a pregnancy, and is this pregnancy affected with a life-threatening or undesirable mm-hmm. genetic condition, and what are we going to do about it? Are you going to consider ending a pregnancy because
so
it
no
has
bird
this?
Flu stuff?
No, certainly not.
Right.
Certainly not.
Okay.
Got it.
Excellent. Shall we hit the news?
Let's hit the news.
Geek News.
Brought to you by Geeks On.
We have no sponsors. Brought to you by a product sponsor we have not yet conceived of.
Well, now maybe we can get Disney.
Yeah, because we bragged on it.
But
how about Pixar?
Yes.
Hey, Pixar's still pissed at Disney. They'll take us.
Who wants to hit it up? Donnie? Since I'm looking at you?
Just forcing it on me like this. Yeah. I see how it is. No, that's fine. Well, I'll start with something nice and easy. WB has greenlit the Aquaman television series.
This took like a week.
I'm surprised.
They
live
Aquaman
action?
Was no. It was, okay, it took 2 weeks. Aquaman was on Smallville 2 weeks ago. The numbers skyrocketed, and then between that time and today, they decided that an Aquaman series would be a good idea.
No, it's not.
Didn't they make a television series based on Aquaman in the 70s called The Man from Atlantis?
I don't know.
I remember this TV series.
Wasn't
I remember
that Prince
down,
Namor?
I don't know. But I remember... No. Aquaman's from Atlantis, too.
Hmm.
I remember sitting down and watching it with my parents. And the reason why I remember this is because the guy swam in this way that I'd never seen anyone swim before. With his hands at his sides and his entire body undulating.
Oh, doing the dolphin
right?
kick,
doing
right.
Doing the dolphin kick. And that was the way he swam.
I remember that, too.
Yeah, and I think he could talk with fish, but I can't really remember.
Hey, man, that's the way Kevin Costner swam in Waterworld.
Oh, yeah.
That was, like, the only cool thing about that movie.
Yeah, but he had webbed hands.
And gills.
Did he have gills?
Oh, yeah.
He had gills. Well, okay, so it's going to take place mostly in the water, or is he going to have to run out, get a drink of water
that's
every
couple
miles?
That's all the information I've got so far. It's been greenlit, and literally, the article that I've got here... the series is being envisioned as a contemporary reinterpretation of the character who lives in the deep sea and enlists sharks and other oceanic creatures to help him in his crime-fighting endeavors.
I like the surfer pitch.
Well, that's
Aquaman
what he was.
Aquaman will be in his early 20s.
Actually, how surprising.
That was kind of the cool little shtick they did with Smallville. He's kind of a surfer dude.
Oh.
And as a suggestion of Aquaman, it was fun. But I don't know if nailing down the character and watching that all the time.
This
would
sounds
be...
like one of the dumbest show concepts I've ever heard.
I'm just now catching up on fourth season of Smallville. Since I finally
that's
finished.
The one that was derailed for a while.
Yeah, since I finally finished Farscape, but they just had the Flash on.
Yeah,
and that was a decent episode.
Yeah,
it was kind of cool. But as long as you keep it, the whole point of the way they're doing Smallville and why it's good is because they keep it ambiguous while sort of turning the mythology on its head.
Right.
But if they start getting specific about, yeah, he comes from Chemotherion in Atlantis, it's going to be like dumb shit.
I'm agreeing.
I think they're just going to cast some sort of hunky Hollywood actor and keep him.
They've
wet
already got him.
I think they got
that guy.
I haven't seen this. I haven't seen it.
I think the guy, he was on like American Idol. And then he didn't win, and then he parlayed himself into...
You've got to be kidding.
You've got to be kidding.
I think so.
You've got to be kidding.
So Aquaman is gay. Like, screamingly gay. Because every male contestant I've ever seen on that show is screamingly
gay. I think he shagged Lois Lane, or whatever her name was.
Really?
Yeah. And Lois, by the way, they must be dropping in ratings, because Lois Lane is in a bikini or had to strip in a strip club. It's every week. It's she's like taking off more and more clothes.
Kick ass.
Oh, come on. It saved Enterprise. Oh, no, it didn't.
All right. Wait. I'm moving on.
Something like this happened in the Enterprise?
Yeah, man.
Did you not watch Enterprise?
I
okay, season one was all about, like, we're going on, we're exploring, and our ratings are terrible. So season two consisted of every single episode they had to come back and go through the decontamination chamber.
Which means?
Where they'd take off all their clothes, and they'd have to rub this blue gel on their, each other's naked bodies.
And you had to go in as groups because you couldn't. Yeah. They only had one.
And it had to be done slowly and sensually.
Yeah,
luckily, it was very important.
Luckily, the hot Vulcan was on the away mission all the time.
Every
the
single
time.
Episode.
Thank God.
But the funny part was it didn't stop there. I remember there were two episodes in a row where for no apparent reason whatsoever, half the cast was trying to fight off an alien invasion in their underwear.
Oh, yeah.
Literally in their underwear.
Oh, yeah.
And they kept doing stupid-ass jokes like Hoshi would have to be crawling through an air duct in nothing but a halter top and a pair of panties, and then she'd be like reaching through an air vent for something, and then you'd hear a ripping sound, and she'd refuse to come out of the air vent for the rest of the episode. Yeah, stuff like that. You know, it was like,
wah, wah.
Yeah, yeah, there we go. In right. stereo, we're available.
And people want to bring back Star Trek. Why?
Exactly.
Hey, the original Star Trek did that stuff. I mean, Kirk was getting his... hello, do you remember the costumes in the original Star Trek?
Yeah, but
there
Aaron,
wasn't a stitch on those.
I remember a few miniskirts.
How long did the original Star Trek last?
3 years. Oh, you saying that the original Star Trek was not a successful series? Is that what you're trying
to
jam
down?
No, I'm
just saying maybe it died for the same reasons.
Oh,
even though
please.
It was,
how dare you?
How dare I?
All right. I'm
going to get mail for that one.
I don't
one.
Remember much woman flesh on the original Star Trek.
Oh, what you talking about?
I remember
what
miniskirts.
The
beautiful
hell
legs, but nothing.
No, you mean no nudity.
Nothing above the waist. Yeah.
Oh, no. No, there was mad woman flesh.
What are you talking about?
I don't remember, like, plunging cleavage or...
Oh, yeah.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
It was alien woman flesh.
Yeah.
Usually, I remember a green belly dancer.
Yeah, she was a big one.
That's all I really remember.
There was the princess that hooked up with Kirk. And
every episode there was one.
Okay,
yeah, but
okay.
they were usually wearing evening gowns.
No,
or
no.
some,
okay,
I mean, form-fitting, yes, but...
Let's
right.
do the next
okay,
move story.
Yeah, we've completely over-talked that one. I'm bringing this up, but this needs extra research. This is about the new power source that this guy has claimed that he has found... It's another one of those cold fusion things.
Oh,
but he claims
okay.
that he said other people verify this. He's got 10 or more million dollars in investors, and in a couple months he's going to reveal how it's done. It releases up to 1,000 times more heat than conventional fuel with, like, some water and zero contaminants.
Bull
but
crap.
Here's the real crazy thing, is in order for all this thing to work, it disproves quantum theory completely.
Bad.
What it does is he somehow claims that he moves an electron in between a electron orbit.
Okay.
Like instead of the first orbit of a hydrogen,
right.
he moves it like down, like in between the first orbit and collapse, which is impossible because it's a quantum
right.
leap. So if this is true... Not only do we get power forever, clean power that we can all live on forever, we have to restart on science all over again.
Kick ass.
Again,
most scientists have been getting sedentary, damn it.
Again,
the man will be assassinated by the oil companies in 5, 4, 3, 2.
Well, yeah. Assassinated by a lot of people. Yeah. So anyway, I'm going to keep my eyes peeled on this because, you know, it could just go the dodo of... this whole cold fusion thing, but
we'll see.
You never know.
We'll see. Could I want my damn flying car, damn it. All right, Peter?
Matt, I barely trust you driving in 2D.
That's true. I am Asian.
Two MIT grads now believe that they have cracked the code to create a computer that will predict what singles will top the charts and what ingredients make a hit single.
Hey, man, they broke Vegas. That's all I got to say.
Wait a minute. They figured this out, like, when they invented the monkeys, like, 30 years ago. They've been crapping out crappy boy bands since then.
Well, this one thinks it's a program, a computer program, that'll just tell you when it listens to the music. And theoretically,
Wait a second. You have to provide it with music for it to tell you what the next musical trend is?
Well, it's like American Idol computer style. It's like that Simon guy, but like computerized.
It's going to put Paul Abdul out of business, man. That's not right.
Snort. Go ahead.
So this computer program can theoretically tell you if the music is sexy, romantic, loud, upbeat, things like that.
Obnoxious?
Obnoxious, yes.
Okay, I get loud and upbeat. That's easy. Sexy?
They say they can do it.
Is it going to be like American Bandstand? Like, I like the beat. I can dance to it.
Now, if this sounds...
get down, get buggy.
This sounds far-fetched. Theoretically, the system has... or they say the system has been predicting the Billboard hits with surprising accuracy over the last several months.
Oh, God. So,
all you have to do is type in Britney Spears, and it predicts a hit. Strange.
Why am I gonna, I'm kind of predicting a television episode where, like, Dick Clark's soul gets put in this machine and lives on forever. He controls the music world.
A brain in a bottle.
R. Kelly is the bomb.
It's the shiznit.
It's just kidding. Like, okay. South Park takes on Scientology.
Ooh, I hope they have a good set of lawyers, because those guys are armed to the teeth.
Exactly.
Yeah. That's
so
great.
South Park is taking on Scientology in the typical oblique fashion fans of the show know and dig. What's particularly interesting about the episode titled, get this, Trapped in the Closet, is that show producers tapped Mark Ebner for the script consultation. Now, the guy, Mark Ebner, wrote, he's a celebrity dirt digger. He wrote a Spy magazine article in 1996, which began this way. Here's what he wrote, and so we can expect something like this. 1996.
Okay.
I am an ex-drug addict who has solicited prostitutes in my day. I've also masturbated and inhaled at the same time, and I've been arrested more than once in my life. I've dropped out of high school, and I've been under psychiatric care. Oh, yeah, and I owe the IRS roughly $6,000 that they are well aware of. In the language of Scientologists, the above information reflects what they include in their dead agent packs, dossiers of all the dirt they dig up on people critical of their religion, quote unquote. Often they disseminate damaging information like this to their friends, family, landlords, and employers of anyone who dares speak of or worse, publish anything derogatory about the quote unquote church. So what I'm doing here is dead agenting myself before we begin beating them to the punch. So then he goes on, and I have the link to the article, but he goes on and he just bitch slaps Scientology. So
wow,
go read the article because it's out of control.
Hmm. So cool. he had to like take the teeth out of their
he dead agents himself beforehand.
God, gotta love that. I was going to start my own cult like a couple years ago when the millennium was going to roll over, but it's like a big pain in the ass. But man, that guy did it right.
Yeah. Far easier to start a cult, you know, Geeks on Cult. Just, you know,
simple.
Much easier this way.
Yeah. Aaron, you need to write a book.
But you start a cult so you can, like, all the guys can give you money, you can sleep with all the chicks. A whole bunch of, like, geeky guys.
Yeah, not quite working out here.
Supposedly, L. Ron Hubbard was Mr. Schmancy Pants and, like, dated everyone in the entire world.
Yeah, that's why you start a cult.
Right, okay.
Yeah, hello,
what
David
do you
Koresh.
Do? What else do you start a cult for?
I don't know.
The cool secret names? Handshakes? No.
Hell yeah. I don't know. All right.
But what was I saw pointing going on.
There was pointing.
Oh,
all right. Sorry. I didn't realize.
I'm taking you back down south to the lovely town of Durham, North Carolina, where Mr. Robert Petrick is being prosecuted, and prosecutors are using his Google internet searches.
What?
Really?
Mm-hmm. He searched the words neck, snap, break, and hold on an internet search engine before his wife died.
How did she die?
Well,
she was shot.
No. She was found floating in a lake. Let me see if I can find this exactly. It's more than 2 years after this internet search, her body was discovered floating in a Riley Lake.
Okay.
There were nearly a dozen computers seized from Patrick's home.
Whoa. The guy had 12 computers?
I found that to be a little odd right there. How many computers do you have in your home?
I wonder
here,
if you
sir?
Have to I've have known people with like 5 to 8.
5 to 8, but 12, a dozen.
12.
A dozen.
12.
Nearly
I mean,
a dozen
pushing the limit.
Is what they
one
say.
One more,
here.
And he's completely unholy.
Yeah.
Yes. So I just found that, you know, watch your searches.
That's
it could be used against
totally
you someday.
Totally bizarre. So I guess the I guess they have to have a warrant to search the contents of your computer, but I don't
they
know.
They did seize his computer, so.
I mean, that's just as legit as like going through their garbage and stuff like that. So
going through their wallet, it would be the same thing.
But, you know, come on, clear the cash, people.
Yeah, seriously.
If you're
going
to kill your wife, at least
clear the cash.
Okay, first of all, if you're going to search online how to kill wife, I guess you'd have to put that in quotes.
Yes, exactly. You'd have to go to Ask Jeeves. How do I kill my wife?
Well, he allegedly searched lake levels, water currents, boat ramps, and access about the Falls Lake just days before he reported her missing.
And then 2 years later, they found her.
Huh. I'm sorry. 2 years later, they seized his computer.
Oh, 2 years later. And it's still had?
It's still there.
Clean your computer, murderer.
You've got to be kidding me.
Well, the thing is, when you put something in the recycle bin and trash it or say that it's erased on your computer, it actually just designates it to be overwritten.
I know, but 2 years later?
Well, maybe the guy just, I mean, maybe he was rotating.
Computers and they don't get much use.
Yeah, maybe he put that computer to out
He shouldn't have done that research on the TRS-80 before he put it back in the closet. Man.
Damn straight.
That's right.
It's not right.
Hey, computer hygiene is a good thing.
Exactly. Okay? All right, Don. How about you?
Well, I just have another quickie here. Brandon Braga is officially off Star Trek. He has announced his intentions to leave and not return.
Well, there is no Star Trek, so, boy, that's a hard decision.
No. There is still a Star Trek. It's just not going to be around for a couple years.
Okay. So the company...
They've said that all over the place.
Well, then he has the feasibility of coming back in 2 years.
No.
If they let him.
He says he's done.
He's done with Star Trek.
He says in this article that he believes he has nothing more to contribute to the Star Trek franchise.
Translation. Yeah. I believe I have thoroughly killed that horse.
He had nothing to contribute like 5 years ago. I mean, come on.
Yeah.
Well, it's official. So if you like him, if you don't like him, he's gone.
Yeah. Thank God.
I'm glad. I mean, you know, he tried his best, and that's good. But it was just obvious that, you know, we needed some new people, and now we're getting it finally.
Well, it'd be nice to see them actually put some pre-production in for over the next 3 years, you know, work it out.
Yeah, we'll see.
Come up with something new.
Hey,
I have some disturbing news, and apparently everybody's found this out. Now there's some lawsuits going on. Sony...
Dum-dum-dum.
Sony has been putting hidden software on their music discs so that when you put it in your computer, it secretly uploads a program, installs it onto your computer... and locks your computer capabilities of playing discs with this copyright protection on it.
Yep.
And it doesn't – it hides it. You can't – it's like spyware. And it may interfere with another program.
No, it completely does interfere with other programs. In fact, it is impossible to get it off your computer without removing Windows.
Yeah, it's really jammed in there. So there's companies have already gotten like who's rewritten their spyware software to start targeting it. California suing.
Yep.
Sony.
And it also affects Mac as well. So
yep,
Mac,
now
Mac
affects Mac. And Sony apparently they're even getting. I mean, every day there's a new news article. The thing that they upload or install your computer is called a rootkit.
Yeah.
And it hides there and just prevents you to put. You know, putting in music CDs and ripping them.
Yep.
And that is not acceptable. In fact, Microsoft now was pissed off, and they're going
to
start...
Well, because people are having to remove Windows and like that, and they're coming... I think Microsoft...
They're getting calls.
Yeah, they're getting hundreds of thousands of calls, actually.
Yeah.
So Microsoft's like, why are you costing us business?
Yeah.
You know, because these people don't have their discs anymore.
If there's someone whose coattails you don't want to step on, it's probably Microsoft.
I would suggest Microsoft sue, because this is some bullshit right now. This is some serious bullshit. And if online, you can get a list of the CDs that have this on there. Do not buy them. Ban the CDs. That artist, if they can't figure out how to protect themselves, they just lost a CD sale. I'm sorry, Brittany. You just don't get my money this week.
The other thing
I'll steal it.
If you go to boingboing.net, they have a list of everything that that program does to your computer, and it's highly, highly nasty.
And they haven't even found, like, you know, there are plenty of companies that have written their own piece of software, and you know, that's how what the you know company's basing their revenue on.
Right.
This thing downloads and might screw it up. I mean, that's millions of dollars your company might be losing.
Yeah.
You know, it could be rendering, it could be computing something important, and these a-holes come along and knock it out because they don't want you downloading, you know, some 50 cent album.
It's senseless.
Steal it.
It's
go really... get the list and steal every song on there. F you, Sony.
For those of you playing the Geeks on Drinking Game, Aaron has said bullshit twice this episode. So you should have drunken twice by now.
I think the problem here is that we did that, that someone did that whole who's the funniest person thing.
Don won hands down.
And Don won hands down. But Aaron got second best because of the rants. People love the rants. And Aaron's playing up for the rants. What's up with this?
Oh, yeah.
Please.
Peter and I got
playing to your base.
Peter and I,
Aaron.
when I went on. I'm just jealous party of one. So, yeah. You know.
The funny thing is I voted for Don. And then I went in and I looked and I went, oh, hey, I voted for myself. Because Peter and I are sitting there lolling at 9%. I'm like,
I voted
hey.
For Don, too.
Oh, you did?
Yeah. The funny part was I didn't want to look at it because I didn't want to know. I was afraid no one would like me.
Oh, man. I felt like the frickin' Green Party.
All right.
Go, Peter.
Okay, so internet. They're putting the classic Warner Brothers TV shows on the internet.
Yeah.
The service called Into TV will be free. It's supported by advertising. It'll have a two-minute advertisement you have to watch and that you will not be able to skip in order to watch the shows. And what makes this really interesting is... Excuse me. What makes this really interesting is that the way it's going to work is a peer-to-peer... I believe it's peer-to-peer. A special file sharing network. And so it looks like your computer will be helping to share the files with other people.
Oh, you mean that technology that you think is meant to steal and pirate, Peter? You think is a good idea that...
Oh, snap.
Snap?
I don't know.
Peer-to-peer networking, the pirating software.
I only said that it's mostly used for that. That's all I said.
There's going to be a fight tonight.
Oh, snap.
Two Geeks Enter.
One geek leave.
Okay. I think that, you know, you can go and watch old episodes of Welcome Back, Kotter, right?
Yeah.
That's
exactly
there.
Yeah, you can watch the old episodes.
Really laggy Welcome Back, Kotter.
Well, that's the thing is that I'm sure this is going to be streaming.
No, you download it.
You download it. You do?
Yeah, because it's a I believe you download it because it is a revenue.
I read an article about this, too. It also said streaming.
Did it?
Yeah.
Well,
I'm curious. We should check this out because, you know, this flies in the face of, obviously, iTunes, which is trying to do the same thing. Although iTunes, you get to download.
Yeah.
And it lives on your computer. And then you can bring it along with your iTunes video, which is great. This doesn't allow those capabilities. You can't take it with you.
Well, check it out and follow up.
I'm wondering if this is trying to just stop Apple's little deal.
Don't know.
Anybody else?
Oh, you're done?
Done.
You have nothing else.
See, she's restrained. She only brings
restrained.
I pulled her in last minute, so she only has a chance to get one.
All right, Matt.
All right. Doctors are baffled as an HIV man cures himself.
Yeah, this is all over the news today.
Yeah.
Big time.
I haven't heard of it.
He doesn't cure him. Well, okay, you go.
Man tested positive for HIV. Virus causes AIDS.
Like a year or something.
Has subsequently shown up negative for the disease in a case that has mystified doctors. It was claimed last night that Andrew Stimson, 25, may have shaken off the virus with his own immune system after contracting HIV in 2002. If proved, the NHS said the case would be medically remarkable, of course, because they're remarking on it. It could provide vital information to researchers looking into treatments for HIV and AIDS, which has killed about 3,800 people in Britain since the 1980s. The worldwide annual death toll is more than 3 million. They go into the whole thing. Basically, he says, you know, he began taking vitamins, other dietary supplements to keep his body healthy in the hopes that it might fend off the development of full-blown AIDS. And he went and got checked in December 2003 and negative, and in March last year also negative.
So what's going on is everyone's trying to figure out whether his original tests were all botched.
Right.
And they say the doctors that I heard claim that it's a well-documented case, that it wasn't just one test.
Right.
I don't know. It's a little bizarre. It'd be crazy if, like, you know, after all this research, it's kind of Mother Nature that knocks it out. And
we'll see.
If we could Of course, he's going to be strung up, and he's going to be under a microscope for a while.
Yep.
There's no way he's not going to be able
to... He can make a lot of money from that, too.
The tests were rechecked by the Chelsea and Westminster Healthcare NHS Trust when Stimson threatened litigation, believing there must be a mistake, but the results confirmed all the tests had been accurate.
If I were him, I would say... I would make a deal with the pharmaceutical companies to say, I will submit to any test you want for free, but you have to release all the findings to all companies.
Yep.
That it can't. That one company cannot go and make gazillions of dollars.
He'll probably just turn around and patent his DNA.
There could be. Yeah. Everybody's been patenting their DNA. There was that.
Come on, people. Have some heart. This is.
Yeah.
3 million people a year. I mean, that's.
And there, you know
well,
that.
3 million since it came out. There is a really interesting sci-fi story that's about this trucker. He's this really nasty trucker guy who is in jail, and these government feds basically say, you need to go across country and deliver these medical supplies to this California town. And basically, the United States has been bombed to a fairly well. The East Coast exists. California exists. And so he drives across, but he barely makes it there. And he dies as he does it. And the epilogue of the story is basically that he becomes, you know, they're unable to use any of the virus stuff, but his blood is actually what ends up solving the virus and stuff like that. So it's always made me think, what would happen if a human being actually becomes like the equivalent of a penicillin?
Right.
You know?
Have you not seen Omega Man?
Omega Man?
Yeah.
No, I have not seen Omega Man.
Oh, my God. Have any of you seen Omega Man?
Nope.
No.
I've
oh
played.
My God! People,
sounds
what's
like something
with
from
you?
The vitamin industry pumping omega 3 fatty acids.
Oh well, yeah. Yes.
It's salmon.
The movie's been remade 3 times.
Okay.
The second time was with Vincent Price. The third time was with Charlton Heston in the '70s.
Really?
And the premise of the movie is basically the world goes nuts. I think there's nuclear war, and Charlton Heston, as far as he knows, is the last surviving normal human being on Earth, and everyone else are these weird mutant zombies.
Okay.
Right. Then basically what he finds out is that these mutant zombies that basically run amok at night and then can't stand the daylight are the result of a plague. And there are a couple other normal people still in the world. But every time they come in contact with these zombies, they get infected and they become one of them. So he, for some reason, is immune. And I can't give away the final moment of the movie.
Because we're going to watch it.
I'll go watch it.
Actually, this is based on an old Richard Matheson short story called I Am Legend.
Yes, actually, there's another book called Earth Abides, which is the same concept. It came out in the 50s or 60s.
It's been redone multiple times. And like I said, the movie's been remade 3 times.
Yeah,
I'm just saying that was a really big geek moment for all of us.
When geek worlds collide.
Anybody else?
No, that's it.
Just a quick fun article we'll throw up. Apparently, comic conventions are not necessarily bringing in the money the way they used to.
Shame.
So in the Bay Area, they apparently decided to cross genres and have a belly dancing comic book convention. And apparently some of the belly dancers are in fact comic book artists as well. So two birds with one stone there. Both of the conventioneer types are showing up in exotic costumes. So you never know if they're a belly dancer or a comic book fan.
But I've seen... like the chicks who show up in the comic book conventions with the chainmail.
There's some good-looking ones.
Some
come on.
Very
really good-looking ones. And as someone who's been in multiple belly dancing halls, not all of the belly dancers out there are the classic beauties either.
Oh, no, I know. I know that.
Although if you go to the Imperial Fez in Atlanta, Georgia, there is a dancer named Cinnamon who is amazing.
With the sword, where she puts the sword?
Yeah.
Yeah, I've totally been there.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's really weird, Aaron. We've never talked about that.
Oh, crazy.
I liked the belly dancers in Epcot.
Epcot. I've been to a belly dancer convention in the Bay Area, and there are some very good-looking women and men.
I believe it.
The costumes
are
wild.
Do you belly dancing men?
I have taken a belly dancing class. But I don't belly
dance. Oh, my God. And you talk about genetics?
Wow.
I'm so hot right
now.
So
does Peter.
He takes a belly dancing class as well.
All right, I got one last thing.
All right.
Just Xbox 360, the old game support, the retro fitting, the backward compatible stuff, you need the hard drive.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, but it's very specific. It's basically their core system that they are sending out will have no hard drive. And
right, but no one's going to buy that.
You sure?
Yeah, I guarantee no one will.
Well, I know people are going to get burned by this. And the thing is, in order to make it backward compatible, you're also probably going to have to download the backward compatibility software off of Xbox Live.
The list is already out, 200 yeah. games. And that's installed, I believe, on the hard drive, I think. Then
the list
additional
is?
The list is, yeah. and then the additional games will be added, and those are the ones you will download, which is a small patch, and or I hear the official Xbox Live magazine that you can buy mm-hmm. every month will have latest updates and patches.
Yeah.
So here's my problem with it. I made a quick little list of the games that I would want to play uh-huh. with that I have now on my new Xbox 360, which hopefully I'll be getting very soon. Battlefield 2,
okay.
no, not backward compatible. Far Cry, no. Crimson Skies, yes. Halo 2, yes. Brothers in Arms, no. Ghost Recon 2, Summit Strike, I can't tell. Splinter Cell, no. Star Wars Battlefront 1 or 2, no. So, out of 1, 2, 3,
sucks.
4, 5, 6,
yeah.
7, 8, 9,
two
only
yes.
three of them.
But you better bet you're going to play Madden.
Well, Madden's coming out.
Yeah.
But, you know, who so knows? Yeah, you can play Barbie Horse Adventure. That's on the list.
Kick ass.
Hey, Aaron.
I love Barbie Horse Adventure.
I think people will buy it without the hard drive. They're going to go, they're not going to know to get the hard drive.
No.
No, I guarantee, I'm telling you right now, I've been all over the internet for months now, and the store is only going to carry like two of those.
Oh, really?
Like if you look up online like what they're carrying, they're getting like 80 versions of the one with the hard drive and two of the ones without hard drive.
Because you
they're
know,
just not even releasing them.
You know, some parent's going to go in there to get their kid the Xbox.
Yep, and they're not
going to buy the hard drive. And they're going to have to pay like, you know.
I guarantee the salesperson's going to make sure they get the one with the hard drive. Or it's not going to exist in the store. It's just not going to happen.
Okay.
And if you think about it, listen. You're going to have to buy a memory card if you're not going to have a hard drive. $40. Right? So already you're...
I could never understand why those memory cards cost $40 a pop.
Because it can.
Why even do it then? I mean, why? Doesn't make any sense. Why offer
because
it?
Because they knew they were going to charge $100 more this year than last time they released the machine. And they wanted to be able to put, officially, that you could, if you want to, pay the same price.
Yeah.
Oh, got it.
That's the only reason. It's a marketing shtick. It's just, you know, it's just there to ensure people, wait, no, ours doesn't cost anymore. It's the same price. You know, just buy that one. But if you really want everything that you're going to need to play the game, you have to pay $100 more.
Okay.
All right. Okay.
All right. On to our next section.
Our first topic,
geek vehicles.
Now, we've actually touched on this very briefly once before.
I mean, it's
only
very,
slightly, though. We've never really looked at the subject.
Yeah, it very much sort of typifies the geek gadget, love your cool stuff mm-hmm. kind of thing.
Right.
But it's sort of the epitome of it, the Batmobile, you know.
If you think about it, though, it fits in every single possible geek genre.
Yes.
In superhero genre, you got the Batmobile, you got the invisible jet, you got, you know, Superman's little rocket cradle.
Why do you gotta bring up the invisible jet?
How can you not?
It's the lamest geek vehicle there is.
Why is that any less the Batmobile?
An invisible jet.
It's regular from, car.
Hold on now. You have to think about it in context. At the time, that was the 1940s. An invisible jet was the first concept of stealth anything.
I suppose, but...
Well, you also have to be able to get around with not...
And she's still, whenever they've shown the invisible jets, she's
visible. I love that. I love
she's
that.
She's just kind of...
Well, that's the dumb thing, is they should have made her invisible when she got in it.
I have a friend that did a really funny short film, and it's Wonder Woman coming out of the supermarket, right? And she's carrying her stuff, and you see her kind of go... Look around. Then she's walking. She's looking around. Then she's walking some more. And she's looking around, and behind her, you see a guy walking. And all of a sudden, go, donk, and fall.
That's funny.
I just saw the Family Guy episode where Wonder Woman's sitting in the invisible jet, flying high speed. Superman pulls up next to her like, hey, Wonder Woman, how you doing? Flying your invisible jet, eh? She turns and she looks at me and goes, well, it's sort of awkward. I'm in the invisible bathroom right now. He goes, oh.
Sorry. I mean, come on. Come on. Batman doesn't have powers. Wonder Woman has powers.
Well, she doesn't have
flight. Well, originally she couldn't fly. Now she can fly.
Superman or Wonder Woman can
That's
fly?
That's because somebody...
They revamped Wonder Woman in the 1980s,
yeah.
And they killed the Invisible Jet.
Yeah.
It disappeared in the
Because 1980s. They realized it was lame.
It technology had overtaken it, and it was no longer cool.
Right.
Okay.
It was never cool.
So she...
Hey, Linda Carter and the Invisible Jet.
Remember, originally
cool.
It was like the Invisible
Linda Carter.
Plane, not the jet.
Yes.
And she was
invisible
flying...
Invisible Jet... No.
But also remember that she was, it was an invisible plane and she was over fighting Nazis. So it was like a jet, like a plane, like a war plane.
Yeah.
It wasn't like she was flying around Washington, D.C. like she does now. She's over fighting Germans.
Okay, yeah. This just doesn't make any sense. Have you guys ever seen the cockpit of a plane? Okay, have you seen how many little knobs?
She's got a great
things?
Memory.
I mean, like, come on. How's she going to know which
She's
knobs?
A superhero!
She can't see invisible stuff. Come
she's
on.
She finds the plane.
Yeah. Apparently not.
Point to her inside, right there.
Hey, did you hear the skit I just told you? No. Someone was not paying attention.
Right. Okay, so aside from the Batmobile, right? You know, and aside from the superhero genre,
every sci-fi genre.
James Bond has the car.
Yep.
In every episode, there's always that special car. Mm-hmm. You know.
Also,
what's a space movie without a trademark ship?
Right. The question is also how much of the gadgety stuff. Makes what we consider geek. You know, would James Bond be a cool geeky guy if he didn't have all the gadgets?
No.
You know, would I'd say contributes.
Yeah.
The DeLorean from Back to the Future. Now I got a question for you. Does this count as a geek vehicle? It's kind of on the line for me. But the dragon from the Neverending Story.
Betray you.
Yeah.
It's Falcor.
What's wrong with you?
Falcor's not a vehicle.
He's a vehicle. Right. He transports.
Well, no, I'd actually throw that in there. I would say Silver.
Shadowfax
is a vehicle.
Okay.
Which is so funny when he first introduces Shadowfax.
In the movie.
And he's like, Shadowfax, massive horse of Gondor, you know, whatever. Like, it's the best.
Plot point that will never pay off.
Exactly. It's supposed to be the most amazing white horse that ever has lived, right? And it pulls in, and he shows the horse, and he pulls it over. And then the next shot is Shadowfax, and behind him is another white horse that looks just like him, only it's got a saddle on him.
Yeah, I know. That was kind of lame. They should have just taken out every white horse.
Every white
horse
in the whole movie. It's really lame.
I don't know. What are the other big geek vehicles?
It's strange that you can't make a science fiction like space opera show without spending a lot of time on the spaceship because it's so important.
Yeah.
Like you can't just make a character movie and just go, you know what, it doesn't matter what the spaceship is because people won't accept that. If you don't have a well-designed character, I mean, they're characters.
Well, and I'd say that there are two reasons for that. If you look at any Western, the horse is usually very important for an ongoing serial.
As are the guns.
Of some sort.
You know?
For a naval series, any kind of series with a ship, the ship is a character in and of itself.
Yeah, but it's not as
Sequest.
Like, but like, you know, I mean, like when the Enterprise crashes on the planet, they treated that like it was Spock dying. It was
a serious death
in the family. I mean,
well,
you
hated the original Battlestar Galactica. I mean, excuse me, the new incarnation because you hated the Cylon ships.
The Cylon ships are freaking dumb as shit.
See?
There you go.
Yeah, come on.
You like the design of the rest of them, though, right?
They're the same.
They're the same as the original series, really.
Oh, are they?
Yeah.
They are.
The Vipers.
I would even say the Cylon ships are pretty much the same.
No.
I would say they're pretty darn similar.
No.
They're in zero way.
Yeah. They have the gigantic Cylon head on the front of them.
Yeah, they're both kind of round and disc-like.
No, one's like a the new ones are like a little C, a crescent shape with a little ball in the middle.
And the first ones were sort of round, right?
They were a wing.
I'll show you later.
Aaron will.
Okay, moving on.
Moving on. All right. So, first of all, what is your favorite geek vehicle? Let's start with Aaron.
Well, I think I mentioned this once when we briefly touched on it, but I always liked the Eagle spaceship from Space 1999. It was kind of this supposed to be near future science fiction, so it was supposed to look a little NASA ship, but futuristic. And they had kind of like the what's the TV series of the puppets? The puppet Thunderbirds. The Thunderbirds ships, yeah, they were all modular. So depending on your mission, you would attach this mission type module on it, mm-hmm, and it would instantly be like a combat ship, or it would instantly be a medical ship, or it would instantly be a research ship just by attaching this module on there. The cheap part, or actually it's probably the most expensive part, and then the rockets and the rest of the mechanics, mm-hmm, of the ship was just a wraparound.
That's cool.
I love that concept. And actually for, you know, for that Thunderbirds, for being kind of a kid's show,
that's great design.
It's a pretty ingenious idea if you think about it, because really you're saving a lot of money and having all these different, you know, variations, yep, on a ship. Love that concept. And I like Barbarella's ship.
Of course you do.
I love the Shag. In fact, you know, that would be my vehicle of choice, you know, like maybe big screen television. Update a little bit. Big screen television, Shag carpet. I mean, yeah, that's just cool.
Just hanging out in it. Come Donnie?
On. Oh, that's a hard one for me. Like, on one part, I'm like, I would like to pilot Voltron.
Okay.
That would be fun.
Would you form the head, or would
you be? Of course. Of course.
Who do we know who was the crotch?
No. That's my friend Mark Jordan, who was one of the Constructicons.
Oh, Constructicon.
And
right.
he was the crotch of the Constructicons.
Yeah, he was the voiceover on this series, and yeah, his wife pointed out that he was the crotch.
Mark, like, I'll form the head.
Yeah, you know, you can always count on the wife to, you know.
Yeah, knock you down a notch.
I got to say that my favorite geek vehicle, I think, because the first one that comes to mind, though, is the light cycles from Tron.
Ooh.
Yeah, those are cool.
I'd love to be able to just like whip a little stick out of my pocket, grab hold of it, and turn into a motorcycle and drive off.
You know? You can read into that.
That
all.
Was a hell of a sentence.
Read in whatever you want, kids. I'm just going to sit here and think about
it. Oh, that's right. It was the handlebar.
Yeah,
that
you
just turned
put the handlebar down.
Oh, I forgot about that.
It's a. I can't say
you
it.
You can't say it. Peter. Just leave it alone. It's too easy.
It's a little stick.
Well, it fits in your pocket.
It's all I need, baby.
You know, one thing I liked, and this kind of reminded me of it. Remember the first Batman movie? I never liked the Batmobile in the first Batman movie, but I did like the armor,
okay,
that formed on it. It kind of reminded me of that light cycle bit.
Are you thinking the armor from the second one?
When they were, no, in the first
second one.
No, I think it's the first movie.
Yeah, he would say, like, armor on.
Armor
and
on,
and
the
whole thing
click,
would go
click,
like clamshell.
Click.
Oh, yeah, that was from the second one.
No, that was from the first one. That's right.
Because, you know, because there's a plot point in the second one where they have to break the armor to get into the car.
Yeah, but the first
probably
one is the one.
Do they have
it
in the second one?
First one?
Okay.
They show in the first one.
Well, anyway, I always thought that looked cool, mm-hmm, but it reminds me of that light cycle, yeah, type of, you know, shell forming on there.
Yep.
It's, mm-hmm, always pretty cool.
Peter?
You have a...
What's your favorite geek
film? I don't know. I kind of like the DeLorean, but the spaceship DeLorean.
The flying one?
The flying DeLorean.
With Mr. Fusion.
Yeah, yeah, it's like, you know, with the banana peel that flies it, you know, through time. And it's like, I don't know why, but I just kind of like that.
Plus, you're a time lord as soon as you, you know.
Well, yeah, that's what I was kind of thinking. Like, you know, I mean, look.
TARDIS is a cool one because you have all that room.
Oh, the
yeah,
TARDIS,
yeah, but
really
there's
cool.
No fun in movement with a TARDIS.
Yeah.
You know?
Well,
you're in an enclosed space. It's like an elevator, you know?
I just, yeah, like the idea that you can go anywhere, you know, I mean, like, go to the future. Find something even better, you know? It's kind of cool.
Yeah, but you're constantly screwing shit up and then, like, screwing your grandmother or something horrible and, like,
yeah,
makes everything
happens.
Go nuts.
Not if you go into the future. Only if you go into the past.
You couldn't screw your kids then.
Yeah. You don't want to do anything in the future because there's always going to be some type of weird time loop and you're going to erase yourself. You don't want a time machine. Trust me.
Okay, I want a TARDIS. TARDIS that don't erase.
That's a time machine. Wasn't the TARDIS a time machine? Yeah.
Yeah.
It was a time
but
machine.
It didn't erase anything.
All right. So...
What's yours?
Mine, I cannot remember the name of the movie. It's about a little kid who ends up getting in control...
Wait.
Of a spaceship?
Sorry about that.
It's about a little kid who ends up getting in control of a spaceship. And it's a silver spaceship that can change in form.
I believe it's either called the Voyager or the Navigator.
The Navigator, yes. The
yeah, it's like made
Navigator.
Out of rocket. Made out of like garbage, yeah, pails and stuff.
No,
like
no,
that.
No.
It's like
no,
liquid.
No. That's Explorers.
It's like liquid metal almost.
Yeah, it's like liquid, yeah, metal. It can change shape. It's cool and badass. That one and the ship from The Last Starfighter are tied in my mind.
Yeah.
Which I like. But my favorite ship of all time is the Veritech from Robotech. Of course.
The guy from The Last Starfighter is actually a friend
oh, really?
A friend. And I mean,
Does he still work? Why isn't he working?
That's the whole thing.
Didn't you see Last Starfighter?
I love that movie. Yeah, well, apparently not everyone did. So.
Actually, I really liked him in that.
I own it. I bought it. Well, that's the whole thing. It's like, it's sad. He was a pretty big guy and just suddenly gone. Yeah. How did that happen?
He petered out.
That's Hollywood, baby. Do you have a geek ship that you've liked at all?
I have a new favorite. Mr. Garrison created this personal rapid transport device called the It.
Oh, no.
It had those four gear shifts, two for your hands, one for your mouth, one up your butt. I thought that was pretty ingenious. You know, I spent so much time in San Francisco with those...
Philly dancers.
Segways? There's the Segways, yes, that the post officers are using now.
Oh, are they using it up
there?
Yes,
the post office uses it to get up the hills.
I've never actually seen anyone use it.
Well, there's two in Hollywood.
That's really?
Awesome. I don't know.
Oh, that's great.
Wow.
There is a Segway store here.
Well, there's two guys who I don't know what company they belong to, but they truck up and down Hollywood every once in a while on Hollywood Boulevard. And I see them like at lunch hour. And they'll even be reading a book while they're on the Segway. So,
yeah. Wow. I'm telling you, there's a really annoying guy at Paramount Studios who always is whipping around on his little Segway and gives instructions and then goes off.
Does he have a little horn?
No.
I don't think you can truly be annoying unless you've got a little horn.
Oh, he's got an annoying voice, is what he's got. Excellent.
Interesting.
All right. Design your own geek vehicle. Did anyone do this?
Well, no. I brought up Barbarella's ship. Mine would definitely be the Shag Barber. I kind of want comfort.
Yeah.
Like, either that or I'm going Enterprise. If I can sit in command of a freaking, you know, ship with 500 people.
You want command.
Yeah. Either that or shag carpet. One of the two.
Might be both.
Well, the captain, trust me, the captain score is going to have shag carpet. If you can command 500 people and be that powerful, you got to have to have like
I want the what is that huge gigantic ship that Vader was on? What is it called?
Star?
No.
Slap
you both. Of course I would not know
the
Carillion battle cruiser.
Yeah, not the Star Destroyers, but the Excelsior or whatever it was called.
Whatever his gigantic ship is that crashes.
I sort of started mentally putting together my...
Oh, man, geeks are screaming right now. Sorry,
mentally
guys.
Putting together my geek vehicle. And I have to admit, it ended up looking like the Homer Simpson car from The Simpsons. No, because like I want a big dome so I can kind of see around me while I drive. I want plenty of ass room. I want enough like storage space for comic books in the back. You know, a TV set with just in case I get stuck in traffic, I can play my latest video game.
Donuts.
Nah, not so much.
Okay.
Donuts. I was actually going to break out my old Car Wars set.
That's right.
And design one, but I figured it'd be bad radio to, like, you know, yeah. Right armor 15, left armor 20, front armor 5. I have a heavy engine. Probably not a good idea.
We still have never played that Car Wars game that you gave all of us.
Like, 3 years ago.
They're not really great, I found out.
Three years ago, Aaron gave us all these
Car Wars games.
Great Car Wars games, like map boards that he custom made.
He went through a great deal of trouble.
Yeah, I bought these wonderful
rule books. We can still use those.
Okay.
But we should break out the original Car Wars rules.
Better.
Yeah.
Those are fun.
Did you design anything, Peter?
No. Not. I'm sorry.
All right. No problem.
My whole obligatory thing with any of my geek vehicles is that it hovers. That's it. I just want my damn flying
car. I think mine needs to be submersible. I think that's important to me.
Oh, so you like the James Bond car that can actually turn
into... I'll take the vehicle that you can change gears with your ass or whatever the one you brought up. I mean, you could like...
Wow,
you know,
are you never borrowing my car?
You can answer the cell phone, eat something and still change gears.
Wow.
So, as I listen to all of your descriptions, all I can imagine are bumper stickers if this ship is rocking.
Right.
Nice.
Exactly.
So wait, here's a question. What was your favorite geek toy vehicle as a kid?
Oh, I can't answer that question because I never had a geek vehicle as a kid. No, I grew up in the woods, man.
You never had the Millennium Falcon?
I never really had any mass-produced commercial toys growing up.
Don had a rock and a stick tied together.
I had like a wooden
Lincoln log car,
you know. But I'd say my favorite vehicle, hands down, when I was a kid, was the Phoenix from G-Force.
That's pretty damn cool.
Yeah, I mean, that was a great ship.
That was a really, really cool car. Aaron? I know you had everything.
No, I didn't have everything. I did have Millennium. My grandparents got me the Millennium Falcon, and that was like the biggest toy I think I ever got ever. And I had the snow speeder, which I always thought was a cool design.
That was
ship.
My favorite ship.
Yeah, Star Wars.
But I had this great Enterprise from the movies, you know, the refit Enterprise that you could take all the parts off and reposition them so you could make different variants of it. But it had one of the first times it had like built-in noise. So I mean, it was really well put together. God, I wish I hadn't gotten rid of that.
Whatever happened to die-cast metal toys?
Oh, I know. When plastic replaced all the metal, everything kind of went to
I was
pot.
Like...
You can go down downtown, you can buy Micronauts, the original Micronauts.
Really?
Yeah, and they're all metal.
Micronauts
stuff,
were actually before my time, but I had a couple.
Oh,
anyway.
I had a couple. They were in my time.
Awesome. Yeah. I loved those things.
Peter, what was your favorite geek toy?
You know, my dad used to come back from when he'd go, you know, my mom and dad would go away for something, and they'd bring back these big, giant robots that were like...
Shogun.
Yeah, Shogun Warriors.
The Shogun Warriors.
They must have been. I have no idea what they
did
were.
Did the fists shoot off?
And
the
have fist... missiles on the shoulders?
Yes, absolutely.
Oh, I love Shogun those. Warriors.
And they were about 2 feet tall or 18 inches. They were huge.
I wanted one so badly when I was growing up.
I'm sorry.
I had one. It shot missiles out of its nipples.
I wanted that and the Godzilla that could shoot its fist for no apparent reason.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
Yeah, they came
Do
out
you remember
a little
that?
Bit later. Yeah, they came out a little later.
I remember watching that as I was... It breathed. Let's try that again. It breathed cardboard flame, if you flick the switch on its back, and it shot its fist.
Yeah.
And while I was a kid, I was like, wow, it breathes flame and shoots its fist. I think I need explanation for that one.
Lizards grow their shit back. His arm will be back.
Show me a movie where Godzilla shot its fist at Mothra.
Okay. Mega Godzilla did.
A 70-story lizard shooting its fist at a giant moth is just not realistic or believable.
Yeah. Well, that mechanized Mechagodzilla did that. Remember?
It's because it's a Mechagodzilla. biological or...
Are you not listening? Hello.
You guys were probably too young, but when the Battlestar Galactica toys came out, they had vipers. Were, you know, they're like 6-7 inches long, and they had these... missiles that would shoot out.
Right.
Had cool. a little flyer.
They recalled them because people were choking.
Right.
Them.
That was the year that all those shooting things disappeared.
Yeah,
that was like the last year. And I remember that, you know, I had two of them. I had one that shot, and then I bought another one. And it still was there, but it would just pop out about a quarter of an inch.
Yeah, which
and
was
it wouldn't
lame.
Shoot anywhere. I was like, why even have that?
Yeah, man.
And from then on out, no toys shot little pieces anymore.
That's so disappointing.
Sad,
I remember.
Sad day. All right. Can we move on?
Yeah, I think we should move on.
You want to cover it, Aaron?
Well, this is our Thanksgiving episode, and we wanted to, before we close out the episode, is talk about what our geek, what us geeks are thankful for this year. And so we each came up with a small little list of what we are thankful for in our geek lives. Do you want me to start out?
Yeah, why don't you start out?
Where did mine go?
Oh, there it goes.
Matt, why don't you lead us off?
I was just thankful for all the geek money which has come in this year and allowed me to have a geek life. Thank you very much. And also a geek girlfriend and, you know, many other things.
Well, mine was, if I can't find it, I remember, mine was my TiVo. I'm thankful for my TiVo because it really has changed. I got it this last year, really, and it's completely changed my television watching, mainly as I don't watch as much TV, strangely enough. Uh-huh. I'd like to thank Battlestar Galactica because it's one of my favorite shows now, my geek shows.
I'd like to thank Farscape. That's true.
I'd like to thank my Bose noise canceling headset, which now I'm using more than my iPod. Great. It's worth every penny. It's like $300. I got it for a present.
Bose noise canceling headset?
Oh, these things are amazing.
These are unbelievable.
You're in a busy, loud room and you put it on and suddenly things get quiet. And I don't mean they get quiet because you have something covering your ears keeping quiet. I mean you flick a switch. And somehow it does something.
It has
everything quiet.
It has a microphone on the outside of the earpiece, and it takes a sampling of the outside noise and then sends it an inverse noise
wave
inside your ear to cancel
out. How heavy are the headset?
I'll show it to you.
Their normal weight.
Dude, but, I need this.
It's great on a plane.
It's really neat.
And with my, I'm also thankful for my iPod and for our Geeks on the Podcast because this is our. We've been doing this close to a year now, and I've had a lot of fun. So that was my thing.
We're coming up on our 1 year anniversary. Relatively,
I know we have to plan for that. So that's what I'm getting.
Geek anniversary. Thank you,
Peter. Do you have anything you're thankful for?
I'm thankful for the newest Batman movie, for pulling out of a downward spiral. We now have hope. For Batman. There's hope. Hope. Aaron, you don't like anything. And this is the laughter of recognition.
This is the laughter of recognition. Go ahead.
I'm thankful for my geek wife, who allows me to be geek.
Yeah, definitely for me.
I'm thankful for the fact that geek is becoming cool. Who would have thought that would have happened?
They're both four-letter words, man. There we go.
And
all
I'm
right.
thankful for my geek friends, one of whom is here today. So,
who's that? Oh, one. You think we're all your friends? Okay, that's cool. That's cool. Don.
Okay, now it's my turn to say snap.
Ow. Oh, snap.
Well, I'm going to echo Aaron. I'm thankful for my fellow geeks here in this room. I'm very grateful to have all three of you in my life. I am very grateful for the geeklings that I have met through this podcast.
Woo-hoo!
And guys, once again, I mean, we don't do this for money, guys. I love all the emails that we get on this thing. Thank you so much for taking the time.
We have some amazingly intellectual geeks, man. Can I tell you? Yep.
And even if they're not intellectual, they're genuine. And I love the emails we get. I love them.
And the forums, the really great conversations that happen. It's really
amazing.
I am thankful for the people I work with 8 to 12 hours out of every day, which makes my job tolerable.
You have a geek job.
I have a geek job that I know people in the world would give their eye teeth to be doing.
And congratulations on your geek product.
Well, thank you. Why, thank you. My newest video game is out right now, and we can't discuss it yet, but we may be able to discuss it a little bit in a couple weeks.
Cool.
And I am grateful that this holiday I will not only have a new Terry Pratchett book to read, which I haven't picked up yet.
A thud. I have it.
I'm grateful that I will be able to read the newest George R.R. Martin book.
Yeah,
which
I have it.
Very excited about. And I'm grateful that thanks to Netflix and various other services, I will have the opportunity to sit down and watch all the wonderful geek series that I have never had the chance to watch before, like Farscape.
Have you given up on Farscape yet?
No, I got to the end of season one.
Mm-hmm. What do you think of Scorpius?
I don't like Scorpius. He's easy. He's a very... I'm
that
not
never
surprised
stopped you before.
No, I mean, there's not... I'm sure he gets better. I'm sure he gets better. But at this point, he is the most typical... expected bad guy I've ever seen in my life. I actually liked Christ.
Yeah.
I liked Christ much better because he was a better villain to me.
Huh.
But anyway, that's a complete tangent.
Sorry. Well, I'm still thankful for money.
Alrighty.
And I'm grateful that I still haven't picked up Civilization 4 and I can't wait to do that.
Well, yeah, we just wanted to throw that in because of this is Thanksgiving coming up, and we are going to be airing some reruns coming up, so we wanted to just get that out there. But we also have a bit. We haven't done this in a while.
Yep.
It has been a long time.
Don is going to give us a Geek Heroes versus.
Dum-dum-dum.
Okay. Going with our topic du jour, we are going with vehicles. On our versus.
Oh, okay.
I've got a bunch. Explain this real quickly to the new people out there who are listening.
Okay, versus. Now, I've noticed in my day-to-day life, I work with a tremendous number of geeks, and the most typical conversation I overhear every single day "Are you kidding? Batman would wipe the floor with Spider-Man." Or there was a 3-month debate over who would win in a fight, Buffy or Data. So. We brought that.
Do these conversations come up in the scientific world often?
We duke it out between Watson and Crick.
Right.
Freud would totally kick Pasteur's ass. So hopefully I'll be able to. I have a bunch here. All right. Mm-hmm. So I'll throw them out. talk about them a little bit. I'm going to try and rate them in descending order of interest.
Okay.
Okay. Let's see. Let's start off with the Tron Light Cycles versus Automan's Car.
Whose?
Automan. Automan. Okay. Tron Light Cycles, I think, were just cooler.
I don't remember Automan.
It was like a crappy little show with who's the actor in there?
Desi Arnaz Jr.
Yeah, Desi
was
Arnaz
the lead.
Jr.
It was done in the early 80s. There were like 12 episodes, but everyone seems to remember it. It's up there with Manimal.
Okay.
His mom was hit by lightning when he was born, and she died, I think, and then he was born. And so he constantly has to be kept energy in him. In fact, he has a little watch that's got like a gauge. Like
I remember this.
Full empty, and he has to light.
That was stupid.
And he had a car.
Yeah.
That could, it would look like a DeLorean, if I remember right.
Yeah.
Could reach incredible speeds, but it couldn't turn. It would only alter its course by 90 degrees.
And so his sidekick, who was human, had to sit in the passenger seat. And every time it turned, his head would fly against the window every time he made a turn.
Light Cycles.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Light Cycles.
Light Cycles.
It's a little more mobile.
Okay, we'll work our way up to it slightly more.
And they have the cool tail that which destroys other vehicles.
Yes.
This is true. All right. The Battlestar Galactica versus the Starship Yamamoto.
Ooh.
Yamamoto?
I'd have to go with the
which one's Yamamoto?
It's from the anime. What's the name of the series?
Oh God! Thanks, Don.
Oh, for Pete's sake!
Now you've driven it from my mind.
Okay, the Starship Yamamoto was this massive spaceship that looked suspiciously like an actual real-world airship carrier, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it had something called
that must be
it's not Robotech.
Star Blazers. There we go.
That's what I. Think. Oh, now I'm doubting myself. Anyway,
okay. So, but it was also a carrier, like the Battlestar Galactica. Okay. Whereas it didn't have like all the massive gun batteries the Battlestar Galactica had. It basically had something called a wave motion gun.
Cannon.
That drained every ounce of energy from the entire ship and shot this one blast that would utterly destroy anything in its path.
Right.
Well, you just answered that question. Yamamoto.
Well, it didn't have that maneuverability. It didn't. I don't think it carried the same number of ships as Battlestar Galactica seems to be able to belt out every episode.
However, that same big wave motion blast is exactly like the SDF-1 from Robotech.
I'm going to say then, I don't know that ship, but it sounds like it would kick maybe the Battlestar's ass.
Yeah, Starship Yamamoto?
Okay.
All right. The Buck Rogers fighter versus a Battlestar Galactica Viper.
Oh, I love that Buck Rogers fighter, though.
I know you do.
That's a good challenge. Who's piloting?
No, we're going to say the same pilot in both.
Same pilot in both.
Well, if you're going to talk about new series, like the one that just... I'm going to say Buck Rogers. If you're going to say the old original Battlestar, I'm going to say an even match because they're pretty much the same technology. But the new ones they have bullets and shit.
I'm going to go for the Battlestar because those things can just, you know, turn back.
That's true.
They use the real physics of space.
That's true.
Whereas, you know.
Okay.
Good point.
The Thundercats Battle Tank.
Oh, yeah.
Versus the Batmobile.
Oh. Thundercats Battle Tank would whoop ass all over it.
Much less maneuverability.
Yeah, but it's thousands of years ahead in technology.
It shoots one thing and maybe claws you if you get in close. The Batmobile has sort of a gadget for every occasion.
That's right. It's like a mobile bat utility belt.
Yeah. It's almost like the Hulk versus Spider-Man battle, you know? It's
Battlecats? Wildcats? That was
Thundercats?
Thundercats.
I was too old when that came out.
Hey. Thundercats, ho.
You young kids are watching that crap.
Okay.
It's like guys dressed in bad makeup.
So you're going Thundercats. What are you going? You think Thundercats too? What do you think, Rob? What do you think, Peter?
Thundercats.
Wow. I'm the only one going for the Batman there? Okay. Let's see. Kit from Knight Rider.
Oh, God.
Versus Christine from Christine.
Christine would kick Kit's little pansy ass.
Kit was bulletproof.
Oh, Kit can please. That was the biggest pile of shit vehicle on the planet.
Kit had ejector seats.
Michael, I'm complaining all the time. Blah, 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 blah. Just, you know, satanic car versus, you know, It was like a suit.
It's the super science car versus
super
demonic
science car.
What? Because he could turbo and lasso people with a rope.
And he could turbo and blast through things because
he had an oil slick too. I think
he had an oil slick.
It's a possessed car by the devil.
Didn't you see what happened at the end of The Exorcist? Kit would be so possessed.
Yeah, really.
It would be a possessed Kit.
What if Christine possessed Kit? My God, you're right.
We'd all be dead.
That would be amazing.
Ugh.
The Invisible Jet versus the X-Men Lockheed.
The Lockheed, come on.
It's just a Lockheed. Does it have any special abilities?
It's just a jet.
Yeah. Wait. Can it cloak? It can cloak. It's got missiles, doesn't it?
I hate to say it. I know you don't like it, but how is Wonder Woman...
It's got missiles.
The X-Men vehicle has missiles, doesn't
it? Yeah, it can shoot. It can do all sorts of things.
Oh, it can? Oh, okay.
I could swear it can. I may be completely wrong, but I could swear it can just blast that invisible piece of out of the sky.
It didn't in the movie. Just what's-her-face had to, like, fog bank them in or something stupid like that.
Yeah.
All right. Draw.
Couple more quick ones. An X-Wing fighter from Star Wars versus a Babylon 5 Star Fury.
Oh, you fucker. X-Wing, because I love it more.
X-Wing.
I got to go with the Babylon 5 Star Fury because it can turn around. What's wrong with you people?
Okay.
Turn around.
Bright eyes.
X-Wing is...
Let's see. The Millennium Falcon versus Serenity.
Oh, Falcon.
Millennium Falcon. What are you thinking? Somebody has no guns on it.
Voltron versus Robotech.
Oh, you fucker.
Now I have to put an explicit tag on this thing.
You can just bleep me out on there.
What was it?
The Voltron
big robot versus another
the lion robot. The lion Voltron.
Oh, okay.
Versus the Armada from Robotech.
The Armada?
No,
just
you know
that one.
I mean the ships. We'll say a squadron. Make it
I would say Robotech. I don't know. I don't know the difference between them, but Robotech.
Oh, we
got to
watch some Robotech. Damn it! All right, Voltron would whoop it.
Yeah, Voltron would kick its ass.
Oh, really?
On a 1-1.
6 ways till Tuesday.
Yeah.
Let's see. I've got one last one.
All right,
but it's an important one. Okay.
The Enterprise versus.
Oh, you know, I didn't put the Enterprise on here because I couldn't think of a good match for the Enterprise. Okay, here we go.
I have a match for them. Okay. How about the Nebuchadnezzar from...
There's a good call.
Nebuchadnezzar versus
that
Captain Nemo's ship.
Yeah.
You just geeked.
I wonder
why
it was such a surprise.
You just geeked out in the last second, man.
It's rubbing off on me.
Geek grenade.
What did the Nebuchadnezzar have? It just had an EMP pulse.
Well, that's all it needed.
Gunships in the back.
Yeah.
Oh, that's right. It had some chain guns. I guess I'd have to go with Enterprise.
Yeah. Enterprise can
it's got
level
photon
planets.
Torpedoes.
Yeah, but the EMP would take out the Enterprise like that.
It would never get close enough.
Yeah.
Keep in mind, the Nebuchadnezzar could probably do it to something within a couple, let's be generous and say 100 miles, whereas the range of the Enterprise was measured in
solar
systems.
So. Yeah, okay.
It can warp, for fuck's sake.
All right, and here's the last one. And this is the quintessential one, guys. Are we ready?
You're like dropping F-bombs in here.
All right. Battle Cat from He-Man and the Masters of the Universe.
Oh, God.
Versus that thing that Ookla the Mock rode around on from Thundar the Barbarian.
Oh, Thundar.
Thundar.
Not Thundar's horse. Ookla the Mock's lizard horse.
Yeah,
thing
that was cool.
Rode. All right.
Tigra, whatever that was stupid.
No,
it was a damn tiger with a... Who rides a tiger with a goddamn...
Oh, Battle Cat?
Battle Cat. It's like strap a harness on a tiger and ride off in the sunset. Come on,
it seems a little ill-conceived, but but it has claws, whereas for sheer muscle mass, you know, that lizard horse thing was pretty...
I'd still go with Battle Cat.
Yeah, it guess it's made for battle because it had like
it's
didn't
in
have
the
like
title.
Missiles and stuff on its, didn't have like some weaponry on the harness
only in the action
toy.
Figure.
Oh.
It's called Battle Cat.
Yeah, but that horse thing, I remember that horse thing riding through hordes of mutants.
Yeah,
you know,
in like toxic waste dumps and stuff.
Battle Cat took on Skeletor
and lost.
Okay, I have to just tell you guys a quick story.
All right,
okay.
Real quickly, because we're gonna wrap this up.
When my wife's brothers were young. Their grandmother, who was insane, was taking care of them. And they were playing around.
End well?
And they were running around, just playing around and playing He-Man, and someone yelled out, "I am the master of the universe!" And Grandma whipped back and cold cocked the kid, smacked him across the floor, and said, "God is the master of the universe!"
Don't mess with Grandma.
Wow.
Well, excellent.
All right, I got a little bit of mail and a link.
All right.
We got
quickly,
time?
Quickly.
All right. First of all, there's a sexy stormtrooper pic that I have to pass around so that you can see it.
Sexy stormtrooper.
Oh, my God.
Come on, bring it around.
All right, so you have a link to this.
Yes.
I have a link, then it's related to, you may have done this, How Stuff Works, the website How Stuff Works. Apparently, they tell you how the Death Star works.
Oh, kick ass.
So I have a link to how the Death Star works.
Yeah. So this would be functional armor how?
In the same way that any female armor is in any fantasy or sci-fi scenario.
Got it.
Apparently women have the magical ability to parry bullets with their breasts. You know?
I also have a quick link. A guy took the solar system and put it on a website to scale. So you has the sun, and then you have to scroll your ass for 15 minutes to get to the end of the and the planets are literally like pixels wide, and it's to scale. You really can scale through, and you can find the planet if you can, but you have to like search for like where Earth is, because it's such a small dot on that website. Anyway, I'll put a link to it. It's pretty funny.
Speaking of that gravity game you mentioned last week,
it's fun, huh?
That's fun.
I know.
Cool game. They got a lot of neat games on that place.
Yeah, they do.
All right, so we got a couple one from Jean-Paul Lagasse. What's up, my fellow geeks? I'm a lad who has heard your Star Wars Ep 3 abridged script many, many times. After the fact suggested title, Sith Happens.
Oh.
Yeah. Just wanted to say, holy wow, I finally managed to wander onto your site. You're an awesome bunch, JP. Also, LRW sent us a little note, said, "Hi there, I discovered your podcast a couple of days ago and just finished your October 15th episode. Excellent show, discussion of the geek's origins and realizations that really struck home. I completely understood and sympathized with the stories of non-geek parent misunderstandings and embarrassing geek revelations. But I have another dynamic to the geek family discussion when you are a geeky parent and what you may expect or hope from your own kids." Hmm. So he has a 6-year-old daughter, basically, and he's happy if she grows up healthy and successful at whatever she does. But he hopes in some small way that she grows up a little bit geeky.
Well, when we rule the earth as geeks, I will grant her maybe a territory or some type of
a fiefdom.
Yes. Yeah. If she is a geekdom.
So he's constantly looking at new CCGs to see what ones are good for her age, waiting for the day I might be able to introduce her to an RPG, waiting for the day she'll be able to appreciate good anime instead of Satch Bell and Yu-Gi-Oh. So he's sure he's not alone. If there are other geek parents that are fine if their kid becomes athletic, but secretly hopes they'll excel in speech and debate. Thanks for the show. Great work, guys. Liam. You guys should have a live studio audience. We got this request from Walter Gass for our LA listeners. I say this without any knowledge of the space where you do the show. Just thought it would be fun to watch you guys in action.
We do have some stadium seating.
Yeah.
But we
store the equipment there.
Yeah.
Yeah, but we have these walls that open up.
Yeah.
And I guess we could, like, open the walls up and probably see about 200 or
300. Those bleachers are filthy, man.
True. We can clean it up, and we'll look into that.
We have a live studio audience. It's Olive.
My dog watches this.
Right.
Excellent. Well,
I have a couple other things I just want to throw up, give some heads up about. Somebody put something up on our website about the Shining trailer.
Mm-hmm.
Do you all remember this? Guy who's cut together the Shining as a wonderful family feel-good movie. Right. And it's genius. If you haven't seen this trailer, go see it. I think we also put up a link to the West Side Story recut as a zombie movie.
Yes.
Right? Mm-hmm. Which also looks great. But the lesser-known one that I don't think people have seen is the Titanic horror movie yet.
Mm-hmm. I haven't seen that.
Oh, it's a good recut. It's put together very well.
Same guy?
Actually.
I think it's the same group.
There's one more recut.
Is there?
It's the new Star Wars movies, and it's the gay love story between Obi-Wan and
Hayden Christensen.
And it is.
I haven't seen that.
So funny.
That link, is, you got to find and put a link.
Okay, we,
we'll put a link.
We'll do that. I've heard there's one for Cabin Fever as well, but I haven't seen that one yet.
Cabin Fever.
The other thing I want to throw up a heads out for, if you haven't seen this guy's work, I just saw it for the first time yesterday. I will give you the link if I can find it again. It's a filmmaker named Pez, P-E-S. Have you heard of him?
Mm-mm.
This guy does stop motion animation.
Mm-hmm. Wow, that was hard.
That is genius.
Hmm.
He did this one that's basically it's two easy chairs
mm-hmm.
doing each other on the roof with like screaming porn music. And they're banging each other all over the place. They're ripping each other against the fabric. And then this little lady comes home and you see the two chairs. And they look all ragged and ripped up. And she looks at the cat and proceeds to beat the crap out of the cat with the broom. It was genius. The guy does a – the other one I saw was he decided he wanted to make a film with things he found around the kitchen.
Mm-hmm.
So it's all this stop motion animation of a bomber attack on a city, right, where you have like – he does these explosions made of Christmas wrapping ribbon.
Hmm.
That looks so good.
Wow.
It's unbelievable to see. You've got to check out this guy's stuff.
We'll definitely check
it
out.
Great.
I just want to quickly say you can email us at geeks@geekson.com, and you can email us individually at our names, Aaron, Peter, Matt, Don, @geekson.com. You can also go to our website, www.geekson.com, and we have a great forums there, we have new forums. They are like hopping.
The forums are beautiful, and you wouldn't believe the traffic we're getting. It's beautiful.
I can't keep up.
That's right. Neither can I. So get on there and answer some of these questions. We have somebody started a Frapper page where all of our listeners are posting where they live on the world, which is awesome. We have about 170, but could definitely go there.
Go and post where you're from.
Did you see that we've actually outstripped the Frapper capacity? They can only do 100 at a time.
Really?
You can only see 100 of them at a time.
Oh, well, so, yeah, you just have to hit the button. You can see the next. Yeah, right,
yeah,
right.
Next you 100.
Can,
yeah, it's, you know.
Wow. I didn't know that.
It's very cool. And another thing I wanted to say is, you know, if you know somebody, I mean, we don't advertise. We haven't jumped on the Sci-Fi Podcast Network just because there's just a lot of kind of swapping of advertisements we just didn't want to do.
We just do us.
Right. We're hoping that you guys could maybe spread the word for us. So if you know somebody, obviously don't give us out to people who wouldn't want to listen to an hour and a half of just completely weird, geeky stuff.
Blather.
Blabbing on and on. But if you do know somebody, definitely spread the word. Get out there. If you see forums out there, people who might want to be listening to what we talk about, Battlestar Galactica, you know, all this type of stuff, point them to our website and let's get some more people on board because, you know, we want to be able to do some more interviews and stuff, and it helps. We have some numbers here and there.
And
I'm going to Gen Con SoCal this coming up weekend, maybe one or two days, and I'll report
do some
on
interviews?
That. I don't know. I don't know if there's going to be anybody to interview, but I'm definitely going to report on it. I'm going to play some games, maybe buy a couple of games, and I'll give you guys the lowdown. I'll know if any of you guys are going to come along.
Great.
So,
also, if geeks have any requests for specific geek gifts for Christmas, let me know at my email address there, matt@geekson.com, and we'll make sure that we put them in the store. All right.
A store?
Yeah, our geek store.
Oh, okay. Got it.
Remember that thing that's on the website?
I was like iPods and stuff? Or
No.
Got
any,
it.
Any Geeks
geek,
On
Geeks
products.
On related stuff. Yeah. Got it. Cool. All right.
All right.
Anything else?
No.
Close it down. Cool.
All righty.
Glad
Have
to
a
be
great
back.
Geek Week, kids.
Bye, everybody.
Rock it out.
Get out.